Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Letter of St. Paul to Timothy. And I encourage you to read this chapter, and if you can follow. And I highlight this seven characteristics based on this chapter. The chapter is started by the first characteristic of the good servant, which we want all of us, the servant, whatever level, to be from bishop, to priest, to Sunday school, or any kind of this service, any kind of service. Because when we mean servant, we mean everyone who serving the Lord. The first characteristic is to be strong. To be strong. We don't want to have weak servants. St. Paul, in his first verse in this chapter 2, 2 Timothy, he said, "Use it for my son." We consider is this to be said to every one of us, son and daughter. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So he defined the meaning of to be strong. Because of course there's different meaning to be strong. But to be strong in the grace, and to be strengthened by the grace, to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the servant is not to come from his or her intelligence or activities, of the way to communicate, which all of them are important, but the real power to come from the grace of God. So a servant should be to be a man of God, a person of God, and to be strengthened by God. As St. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So I cannot do anything without getting this power from Christ. Why? Because we are in war. We are fighting. The service you lead this fight against the devil, which take us to the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, when he put the life of the spiritual life as a fight. And in the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 6, he spoke about it from verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Of course, he wrote to everyone. He was not writing to the servants, but he was writing for everyone. But if everyone is required to be strong, but what about the servant who lead the people at different levels? And he elaborate more on what to be strong. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So here's our enemy, is the devil. Our enemy is not any person, but of course the devil can use people to attack us. Our enemy is the thoughts, the ideas, the values which exist in the society which against our Christian value. We have to be strong to stand against these values, against these ideas, against these thoughts. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rule of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our dream. And that's why we need this, the power from above. We need to be strengthened by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace. That's why he came and took human nature, became man, and he led us in the way to overcome the devil. As we inherited from Adam and Eve, our foreparents, our father, the inheritance of defeat, when they were defeated by the devil, they led to the defeat of the whole human race. It was not limited to them. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and took human nature, became man, and he led the way how to defeat the devil. He defeated him in the temptation of the wilderness, and he defeated him in many temptations, but the utmost victory was on the cross. And in the cross, he trampled death by death, and he came victorious over the devil, and his victory is for us. So we are strengthened by his power, by this victory. So when we deal with the devil in our fight with the principalities of this world, we deal not out of fear, but out of confidence. This is not confidence on us, but confidence of our Lord. He led the way. That's why when St. Paul spoke about the armor of God, what are our weapons? He spoke our weapons which is related to Christ. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, because the weapon of the devil is lies, and you overcome lies with truth, deceiving. Having put on the breastplate of the righteousness, he used that what is used in military in his time, and he put it in a more spiritual way. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and will be perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it is a fight, not for one day, one week, or one month, but the whole life. And we have to be ready for that, and we have to be strong. Which leads us to the second characteristic to the servant, is to be able to endure hardship. To endure hardship. St. Paul, he told his disciple, therefore, you, from verse 3, but you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he elaborates more on what he meant by that from verse 8 to verse 13, when he said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. but the word of God is not ashamed. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. We learn from these two things. That is the hardship which we endure for him, for his sake, not for our mistakes. And St. Peter differentiates between to have troubles because of our sin and troubles or tribulation for the sake of Christ. And the second thing, when we endure hardship, we endure with him. That's why he spoke, St. Paul, about the fellowship of his sufferings, sharekat alam. And when we suffer for Christ, we don't suffer alone. We suffer with him. And he accepted to suffer, to change the meaning of sufferings. Because sufferings enter into the life of humanity after the fall. So it's related to sin. And that's why in the Old Testament you find that is God reward those who follow him by being in good land, in peace, rest, and to punish those who don't follow by sufferings. But in New Testament, when Christ came and he suffered, he changed the meaning of suffering. He did not abolish suffering. We will continue to suffer. But in a different meaning, to suffer with him. To suffer as a gift, as a reward, as a way to share in his glory. Because if we suffer with him, we will glorify with him. So firstly, we have to suffer for his sake, not for our mistakes, and to suffer with him. If we suffer for him, then we will suffer with him. And certainly, there is no one exempted from suffering. That's why St. Paul, when he asked his disciple Timothy to endure suffering, he gave himself as an example. He said, I suffer, I endure suffering, even to chains. So we didn't say that you servants suffer, we as a bishop or priest to rest. No. We always to give the model, the leader. That's why in the story of Saint Ammonius the bishop of Isna, this was a wonderful bishop. He always reflected his life. He used to stay most of the week in his cave as a hermit. But when to the weekends, Saturday, Sunday, I stayed on Monday serving the people. And because of that, his service was very effective. Very effective. So when the persecution came, he took his people to the mountain to pray there. It was a feast of a saint. So the governor followed him. And he offered himself firstly as leading the people, not putting the people for persecution, and he escaped. But he was the leader. He was his people, suffered with them. And all of them were martyred, killed, and the governor took him because he thought this is the leader. And he gave him extra sufferings because he's the leader. And ended by his martyrdom. So he gives this an example as a bishop to be with his people, to lead the people in the suffering, not to escape when something happened. So the same we can apply to every one of us. The real leadership is to be with your people, to be with those you serve, to suffer with them, to protect them if you can. And the story of St. Peter, the seal of martyrs, when they surrounded the church, and because they want to take him, and the people gather in the church to protect the bishop. So he thought it would be a massacre. If they enter, they will kill the people. So he agreed with the soldiers to find a way to go from a side door with them, and because they came for him, not for the people. And the people gathered to want to protect him. But he felt that it's his responsibility is to protect his people, not the people to protect him. And that's why he went from side door. He took him and he prayed that is God to stop this persecution. And that's why we call this the seal of the martyr. This is the example of, for us, we can apply your class, your living, how you endure sufferings for your service. Because one of the challenges which we face is we are in a society when the easy thing is the good thing. And always speak about your convenience. I would like to reply at your convenience. In service is not convenience, but it's against. You serve against the convenience. The service against the easy way. You serve against the comfortable zone. And everyone has a comfortable zone. When with zone of people, of zone of service, you feel more comfortable with. We are not calling for this. We are calling to go out of your comfortable zone. You're going to go to the people, not the people who are very obedient, very polite, but to go to those who are not obedient, to people who are not polite. That because this is the people who need to serve. Christ came for us because we are good and we are righteous, we are polite, we are obedient. Because if we are this, he will not come. Why to come? But he came because we are sinners. We are dead. And because of this, he came to save us. So we are called to service of the cross, and to carry your cross in your service. So the second characteristic is to endure hardship. And just I want to remind you of what the Lord mentioned in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, when he spoke, why people to hate you, and why hardship is a must, it's not an option. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember, the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. That's why when the Lord sent the disciple in a mission and to preach the coming of kingdom, to say peace to the people, and he gives them the authority over the unclean spirit, about the devil, and give him the power to do miracles. He didn't say to them, it will be easy, and will you be accepted by everyone. He told them also what to do if you enter in a city and they don't accept you. So he put this possibility. So don't put in possibility if you serve, if you are strong, then everybody will accept you. No. Don't worry, be surprised when you find what we are teaching is not accepted by the majority of people. Because this is, our teaching is not of this world. And St. Paul spoke about two kinds of philosophy, kind of wisdom. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom which coming from Christ. So what we are facing as a society is not just sporadic things happening, but there is a way of thinking which can link everything which we see and which we face. We have a different way of thinking, different way of seeing. That's we have to dare to be different, not to be afraid to be different. To be different, this is the normal thing. If we are not different, so we have to examine. Maybe you are wrong. And the one of the challenge of the church when to submit to the world, to the spirit of the world, and the spirit of the world to infiltrate the church. And this is how to worship El Ba'al. And our son Elijah spoke about whom to worship, Ba'al or God. But as a church, whom to worship? To worship God or to worship the world? If we worship the world, we have to submit, because worship means submission. Yani when you worship, when you kneel down, that is expression of submission. When we kneel down for God, we submit to God. So when we kneel to the world, or when we submit to the thoughts of the world, then we are worshiping the world. Take the easy way. Take the easy way. So we have to be as a servant to endure hardship and not to be afraid if we find resistance, if we find division, because we are saying the truth. The important is how to be honest till the end. The third characteristic is to be single-minded. Single-minded. St. Paul, we go back to chapter 2 from the second letter in verse 4. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Give an example. If you are a soldier, enlisted as a soldier, you should focus on how to please who enlisted you, not to be distracted by other things. So the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining it more in the Gospel of St. Luke. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, he explained what is meant by this. Now it has happened as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And he saw the Lord doing miracles, very popular, he liked it. So the Lord answered and said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So I have to know what is the meaning to follow. The first thing is we have to know what is the meaning to serve. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And if you want to be worried about things, then you will not be able to serve. Doesn't mean you don't take care of your family, but we take it as an example. It's an example of to be single-minded, yeah, to give a priority of the service. If you accepted to serve, if you are committed to serve, you have to follow this commitment. And one of the big challenge for us is the commitment. And I'm happy to see this number of people coming and committed to come. But usually, when we have a servant meetings, yeah, the commitment is not as we expect it to be. Hopefully, to continue to do so. To be committed to you, to your servant as a whole. Not only just the lesson, I am committed if I have time. If it is convenient for me. If the group which I have in the service, they are a good group. Because they are not serving the groups. Some they like the service because they are friends. They have friends who serve in the same church and they like this gathering of this kind. So service is not a social gathering. It's one who has to be single-minded. And this single-minded means to focus on the commitment of the service which we do. The same also if those who consecrate their life for the service. If they consecrate their life to service, they have to go back. And that's why the Lord in the third one. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell, who are my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And if you start, don't look backwards. Don't look backwards. Find people who serve for the second time, and they leave the service, and they come back, and so on. This kind of hesitation will not help anything, and will not help them to grow in the service. So the first characteristic is to be strong. Number two is to endure hardship. Number three, to be single-minded. Number four is to keep the living tradition of the church. Keep the living tradition of the church. Or in other words, to grow within this living tradition of the church. St. Paul put it in verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In this verse, he's speaking about the faith which we receive. It's not just something which we invent, or everyone comes with a new ideas or new teaching. but something which we deliver from generation to generation. Started from the apostles. That's why we call it the living apostolic tradition. Tradition with capital T. And this tradition, which came from the Lord Jesus Christ, is the founder of our faith. But the Lord did not write book. He didn't write letters. But he taught, he did miracles, and he offered himself on the cross, and he rose from the dead. But the eyewitnesses are the apostles. And the apostles, they preached what they saw and what they heard. And so their preaching is not coming from them. They preach it about Christ, either in an oral tradition or in written tradition later on. Yani, they went and preached it, and some of them wrote. The four evangelists, they wrote the Gospels, and many apostles, they wrote letters like St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John, Judas, and so on. So this is the tradition. That's why St. Athanasius and Cyril said, what Christ did, the apostle preached, and the fathers kept. And our role is to keep. To keep what we received. So that's why we have this, what we call it, the apostolic living tradition, which is based on the Holy Bible, because this is the written words, and how it is interpreted by the Father of the Church, and how the Church lives it through the liturgy, the three things, the three pillars of the tradition. And we have to grow within this tradition. And we deliver it. And our role is to deliver it to the generation. So when you teach, because you as a servant, you are teaching. But you don't teach from your own mind. You teach what you received. And that's why St. Paul, he, in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I give you what, I deliver to you what I received. And he asked Timothy, is what he received from him, from St. Paul, is to give it to people and trust people. And he said, what I taught you with many witnesses, it's not my personal opinions. That's why he went, after 14 years of his service, he went to Jerusalem to present the gospel, his teaching, to the three pillars. And he gave him the hand of fellowship. So St. Paul, after 14 years, he needed to go and put his teaching. And this is the church. You cannot teach in your own mind. That's why when we ordain Ognostos, as we did today for two, the ordination of Ognostos, because Ognostos is a leader to read and to teach. This is the first degree of teaching. And the commandment for the Ognostos is called the first degree of priesthood. It means because the teaching is the work of the priesthood. So the first degree of teaching in the church is the Gnosis. No must say, but yeah. And to ordain, always the liturgy represents the meaning of the church. So that's why when we ordain Gnosis, we cut in the hair five places. The head covers the head. While we see, call him the name, and also with the blessing of the Holy Trinity. Because you want to him that this five cut, which represents the five wounds of Christ, which represents the work of Christ, when you teach, you don't teach in your mind.
but teach the work of Christ, the mission of Christ, to have the mind of Christ. And therefore, it is important for the servant to follow the tradition, not to come with a new teaching. The word heresy means a new teaching. People who came with a new teaching different than what is received. And this is a very important point, that is, we have to go within the church, within the church, within the teaching of the church. Which leads us to the fifth point, which is to have the sound faith. Because if you go in the church, then you will teach the right thing. If you don't go in the church and depend on your mind, it is very easy to deviate. That's why in the history of the church, there was a great teachers, and they ended by being heretics. Why they are heretics? Because they don't follow. They follow their own mind, their own logic. And that's why we face today new ideas. People come with their new ideas. They read books. They be affected by what they see in the society. Some of them want to make a compromise between what the world is teaching. And there is a trend which we have to be careful about. And the people, they say, to win the people, usually they say the youth, most of those are victims of that. As if the only youth who are deviating, while most probably is many youth are very good and very committed to the church. But we usually use the word youth when we speak about something to deviate from the church, which I don't like it, because the deviation does not depend on age. It depends on how people to be brought up. Anyway, call it youth, call it not youth, but there are trends, try to make a kind of compromise between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And it never happened. It's never happened. This is a completely different set of thinking. And this attempt, which be done, try to infiltrate the theology and coming with a new explanation about the Bible, and people because have a problem with what the people teaching about creation. So they try to make what is written in the Bible is more a symbolic things. It's not actually this happened. Yeah, and all this attempt for this kind of compromise, it ended by failure. Because if what is written in the Bible is not historically true, so where would the line? Yes, it has a spiritual meaning, it's true, but it doesn't mean it does not exist. And is Adam was a person or a symbol? He a real person, but he's a symbol too. But if we, because we have a problem of creation, and man was actually created or not. So we come with this idea, no. What is written in Genesis is just a story to explain something. But it's not real. It's not real. Or some come with ideas like, because we want to make a compromise between the evolution and what is written in the Bible. They say that is God created Adam from the dust. This dust could be a creature. Creature which evolved to be human being. But instead of the breath, they say it's a mutation. And this a unique mutation happened for this creation, which ended by to have a human being. And such kind of things it will not stand, because you have to be clear in speaking about the truth. Speak about the truth. Yes, God created heaven and earth. Very simple. Full stop. There is a creator. God created man in a unique way. It's different than the other creation. Otherwise, why there is eternity? If we are evolved from a certain kind of animals, but why we have eternity and this animal does not? So the point is not the similarity in anatomy, which do exist, because there is a part of us is like animals. If you study veterinary and you study medicine, you have a lot of similarities in physiology, in pathology, in anatomy. But there is a unique difference. It's the spirit. The spirit which came from God, which make another element in the human being, which does not exist in the animal. Which, therefore, we believe in eternal life. So the people who believe in the evolution, in the sense of man, I will speak about the evolution, other things, but my point is about the creation of man. The creation of man is just evolved, then they don't believe in eternity. They don't believe in eternal life, because this is a logic. The logic, the life of man, like the animal, it ended by the death. And that's most of the people who believe in that, they ended by denying the eternal life. So how to make a compromise? Do you will deny the eternal life? So therefore, we have to be strong in keeping the faith. And Saint Paul spoke about this in verse from 15 to 18. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. He gave an example. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past and they overthrow the face of some. Nevertheless, the soul foundation of God stand having this seed. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, as St. Paul also in first letter to Timothy, he advised him to keep the faith. In chapter 6, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strange concern graciously. The sixth characteristic is the life of knowledge.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.